All right. This is where I hijack your podcast.
I know it's a hijack because I have no idea what's about to happen right now.
This
None.
Is awesome. This is why I like it. So we are here because you have finally took that step of dropping your own solo CD project. We did a little short blurb to let people know it was coming. But now that it has been officially released on March 24th, 2024, which happens to be our granddaughter's birthday.
Yes.
Our third birthday, for those who need to know. This way we can link those two projects together for a lifetime.
Okay.
And what is the name of your project?
A Lasting Love.
Okay. And why did you name it A Lasting Love?
Well, I named it A Lasting Love because of the track A Lasting Love. Because that's my favorite track. But when I was going through the songs that we chose to put on this CD, it made perfect sense.
And I'll give you a list there so you can see them. I know you may have them memorized, but.
Yeah, it made perfect sense that we would name it that because all of the songs kind of bring us to this place of discovery for me and what I had expectations for what a lasting love could be.
Okay.
So
my first question for you is quite simply, how does it feel to drop your very first solo CD project?
I don't actually know. Maybe because it was Naomi's birthday and I threw myself all into her. It's not that I'm not excited, but I just hasn't sunk in yet, and I haven't really taken an exhale breath yet. So to be really honest with you, I haven't really sat down to really think about it at all.
So I'll say this to you, because this is what my interpretation of that statement is. It's the classic thing about being a woman, where you put everything else ahead of yourself as opposed to doing for self, as we men do.
Exactly.
And here you're talking about your granddaughter's birthday, but we're talking about your project. So what that leads me to believe is, you know, when I do my projects, I have lived with these songs because I've played them, I've recorded them, I'm trying different things. So by the time I release it, I have listened to it a million times. And then upon dropping it, I throw that bad boy in the car and I ride around, I listen to it some more. So have you even sat down and just listened to your project since it's been released?
No, I have not. Okay. And again, it's just what you said. I, by nature, put everything and everybody before me. By nature. Son's getting married tomorrow, as you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, I pour a lot of myself into my children, into my grandchildren. So, truthfully, it is something that I need to work on.
Yep.
And I will admit that. I need to work on that. But we're here, and you know how I feel about truth and honesty, so I can only bring you truth and honesty.
So I'm going to tell you, like I always tell folks when it's time for interview. A lot of folks, when they are trying to interview for a position, they are, of course they want the job, but they don't realize that this is that time you have to be selfish. You can speak about team projects and all those things that got you to where you are at that point in your life, but when you're in that room sitting across from people, it's about selling yourself. So today, we're focusing on this project. All the other external stuff means nothing. All we want to focus on are things that are integral to this project. And yes, it was released on her birthday, so she's integral to it. But we want to dig in and talk about the project. So I need you to be selfish today and talk about your project.
I can be selfish today, but I have a question for you, sir.
Yes.
If that's the whole focus, then why did you choose Naomi's birthday in order to launch my, as you put, very first single project?
Because... okay, we're going to be truth to honesty, y'all.
Truth to honesty.
This project should have came out last year. She keep dragging her feet. She keep doing this every time we want. Nope. So I knew if I put it on a significant date with something strong attached to it, you would have no choice but to say yes. The next significant date would have been your birthday, which is May 20th. That's another 2 months after the project, when everything was completed, trying to get it done. Now, we had some reasons why we couldn't get it done in a faster time frame. But when we originally had this all together, this project should have dropped last year, and we would have been
by
out the gate and running.
Mind, though.
Okay, so that's why I put it on that date. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense, but just for the record, by no fault of mine has this project been delayed, because in my view, this project should have been released years ago, not just months ago. So, you know,
we're going to come back to that comment.
We can come back to it because, like I said, we're going to have a truthful, candid conversation.
We'll definitely come back to that because I want you folks to hold that one because we're going to bring that back because we can bring it full circle.
Yeah, but you are the interviewer, so I'm going to answer your questions
exactly.
As honestly as I possibly can with no holds barred.
No. So that's why I said ask you how to feel. Drop your first solo project,
yes.
And as I surmise that you haven't sat down listening, you come down here, you know, we're in my studio right now, I'd be in here bumping my stuff all the time. So you have to get to that point of selfishness where you can appreciate your own work, because this is how you hear it, marinate with it, breathe it, and then when you're looking to move on, you can get to the next thing. My next question for you is, I asked you how did it feel to drop your very first solo CD project, but here's the selfish question. How does it feel to be a solo artist and knowing that across that project, you are the person who is truly carrying that load? Think like Beyonce with Destiny's Child. Now, she stepped away from Destiny's Child and she became Beyonce. So she had to leave what she did in the past, and now it's all about her. That's what the mind frame I want you to think about.
So ask me the question again so I can truly understand the question.
It's, how does it feel to be a solo artist knowing that you are carrying the entire load?
Because I'm so used to being solo and carrying the entire load and on all of my projects, I guess I'm proud, first of all. I am proud that I finished this because you know, and my listening audience does not know, but this was my legacy project. And what I mean by that, it was a project that I wanted to do to gather all the things that I've done and put it in one place to pass down to my children and my grandchildren. They are always first and foremost in my mind, and I know I have to work on the selfish part of it because I'm not a selfish person.
No.
But I am very proud of the work that I've done. It feels good to finally get it out. And I'm okay with carrying the lead. I mean, I'm used to that. I write my books solo, and my nonprofit organization is run pretty much solo by me. So I'm used to being in a solo seat. So I'm going to say it's comfortable.
Very good. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. My next question for you is, how would you describe the music on your project? If someone stopped you on the street and they said, I heard you got a project, how would you describe it? How would you describe your music?
Well, right off the bat, I would have to say it's avant-garde because it's not, and I'm not, like any person out there. I consider myself uniquely different, a phrase that you came up with, and I have adopted to describe every part of who I am. I am uniquely different in every single thing that I do. So if you ask me what the music would be like, I would say it is uniquely different, but pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy listening to it. It's not something that I listen to and say, oh my God, I don't want to hear this. It is pleasurable to listen to, but it's not like anything out there. And if you are an individual who can appreciate the uniqueness of somebody else's work, then you would appreciate the music that I have put out.
Okay. I think that's a fair answer because we definitely, we don't follow trends. We are aware of what's going on and what's happening out there, but it's that creative thing inside of us that allows us to do what we do uniquely to ourselves.
I've never been a trend follower. You know that about me. I've always been a shooting star out there all by myself doing my own thing, and I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we touched on it a little bit earlier, but I'd like to just go a little bit deeper into it because you spoke about this being a legacy thing. But my question is, how did this project materialize? You know, you spoke about legacy, but there had to be some components of putting it together. So how did it actually come about that you were ready to drop an entire project?
Well, this is something that has been boiling inside of me from the very beginning. And this is a project that's a long time in the making.
Okay.
And this is the part where you can identify me not being selfish. It was a project that I never really saw materializing, but always deep down inside of me wanted it to materialize. And I actually think that you were very instrumental in that, because when I saw that you were ready to put your projects out, it encouraged me a little bit and said, well, I love and have always supported you putting your projects out there. I've always just, my writing has always been something that I have published stuff that nobody knows about.
Exactly.
Because for me, it was just getting my work out there. And, you know, the whole, if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And it was like, I'm going to put it out there. And if it bites, it bites. And I know it's biting because of the royalty checks that I get on a quarterly basis, right? So I think this was a project that I always wanted to do, but I was encouraged by your projects that this was something that I literally could actually do for myself.
Absolutely. And then once you started doing it, how did you enjoy going through that process of, you know, really, like, now that you're seeing it's for real, like, how did you enjoy going through the process?
Well, if we're going to keep it real and honest, sometimes it was fun and sometimes it was not, because I don't want to belittle anybody's work when it comes to how serious it is to do the work of putting together music.
Right.
It's hard. It's not easy. The songs were written a long time ago. I was singing them a long time ago. I had a long dry spell when I wasn't singing at all, and so my voice was not where it needed to be. So there were times when I would come down here, get behind the mic, and wasn't sure if I was going to be able to sing a single note because I didn't know if I was going to even have a voice. So it was difficult, while at the same time exuberating once I started.
Oh, yeah.
And once we started to really pull the project together and I saw, okay, this could really work for me, I started to get excited about that.
Okay, I like that. Now we're going to kind of talk about the actual, like the meat and potatoes, your song creation process. What was your song creation process like? Because you've mentioned that you've written these songs a while ago. So how did you do it? What was the process? You know, did you have a title? Did you have a melody? Did you have, you know, you had music all the way through? You were walking around singing. What was the creation? So, matter of fact, the name of the project is "The Lasting Love." So let's talk about that particular song, so you can walk us through that process of creation. How was that song created?
"A Lasting Love" is to me my baby when it comes to the song writing. When I first started, I had written lots of songs before "A Lasting Love." We would sit down and collaborate. You would give me some music and I'd throw some lyrics on it. And I always wrote poetry. We ain't gonna get into the poetry lyric fight right here. But I always wrote poetry, so I was always in a writing frame of mind. So whenever you would bring me music, I would say, hey, I'm gonna put these words on. Or else sometimes I would bring, this is where the Lasting Love comes in. I would bring you lyrics and you would say, this is not a song. But in fact, I had the melody in my head, the chorus in my head. I was singing this in my head, but because I'm not a musician, it was difficult for me to take the music and the melody from my head and put it on paper. But one day you said to me, I don't understand what you're trying to do, so you're gonna have to figure out the music yourself. And I said, how am I supposed to do that? And you gave me a crash course in, I don't even know what equipment you were using then.
Yeah, back then I had I still have it. It's the SY-77.
Okay, that's right.
For you audiophile hardcore people, it's a workstation. Back in the old days, if you sat at a piano, you could only play piano. If you sat at an organ, you could only play organ. So you needed other musicians to create a song. SY-77 gave you the ability to create all of that inside it. You could play organ, you could play strings, piano, you could play drums, you could play bass. So I taught her how to, you know, lay it out, put a little groove to it, pick the different songs, and record us, you know, her ideas so she could put it together.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened. One day he went to work and he said, go upstairs in the attic and just pluck.
Ooh,
he
said, talk about the attic.
The attic.
When I was in the
go
attic.
Go upstairs in the attic, you know, flowers in the attic. I was upstairs in the attic. And, you know, the kids were at school. I was home because I was recuperating from an accident, so I needed things to do. So I went upstairs, and he said, pluck it out, and then I will
flush it out.
Mm-hmm. And when I got out there, up there, and I started playing with the knobs and playing with the music, it wasn't just me plucking it out. I really started to hear all of the music, and I played with it a little bit until my ear caught it. And once my ear caught it, I was able to continue to play it. And you told me how to record it. So I would record it one piece at a time.
Absolutely.
Until I got the whole entire symphony, so to speak. So I wasn't just plucking it out. I was actually hearing the music in my head and finding the right notes, finding the right keys, and playing it until I had a full-fledged song. And then I let the song play, and I sang my lyrics on top of it and saw that it absolutely worked. So when I brought it to you, mm-hmm. it was a full song. It wasn't plucked out like I've done before. Mm-hmm. It was a full song, and you were impressed. And then I was feeling really good about myself because I'm like, Al Jones is impressed. So
I'm a hardcore music guy.
Yeah, so that's when I realized that I could do it. And I did a couple of songs. Mm-hmm. So, but A Lasting Love was the first full-fledged song that I created all by myself. We talking bass line, we talking melody, we talking music, and in the surrounding music. I remember loving the song from Love Boat. Seriously, if anybody know the Love Boat theme, and that's what came to my mind when it was so like, I was like, I love that. So I was trying to mimic that, you know, and so I mimicked it a little bit so I can get that in there a little bit because I love that theme. So that's how I came to that part, and it was exciting. I was excited by that.
And so would you say that you sound like you tend to be lyric driven first? So you seem like you approach the bulk of your songs from a lyric perspective first as opposed to the music?
Yes. I always approach everything I do with lyrics. I put the lyrics down and I sing it, the lyrics, and then as it becomes catchy in my head, then it becomes a song for me.
Okay.
And I love doing that. That is something I do even to this day. I mean, I do it now with Naomi as we're doing little silly songs. But to me, it was all about what does the word say? What are you trying to say in this song?
Okay.
Because the words have to mean something. And then I wanted to put music around what I was trying to say.
And I have that as one of my questions. So let me just go down a little bit further down my list. Because the question I was going to ask you is, what do you value more, the lyrics or the music of a song?
I value the lyrics. More.
And you know I value the music.
I know. I value the lyrics more because I feel like if you can get a good set of lyrics, then a musician or somebody more experienced than me when it comes to music will be able to wrap the music around what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
And there's room for adjustments.
And let's just clarify that. She means rap. WRAP, not rap. RAP is like hip-hop.
Yes, I do mean rap. And I know how difficult it is because when I hand you an AJ lyrics and say, can you put some music to this? Because you don't know what's in my mind.
100%. I tell you that all the time.
It's difficult for you. But the challenge is now for you to try to create some cohesive music around the lyrics I've given you. So I've given you a challenge also.
Yeah. And you know, we have worked that way forever. A lot of times, you know, me and Junior, we're so creative on the music side. We're always, you know, coming up with little riffs and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're coming up with a pound of lyrics. So what tended to happen is we would take your lyrics and marry it to our music. And If you had a specific lyric that you were strong about, you would say, hey, I need you to write a song about this. And then we would put something together and it would be nothing like you were trying to hear. This is why I wanted to show you how to, you know, start to understand a little bit yourself without having to give you full on theory and, you know, you having to take piano lessons. Yeah. You can pluck out a melody. You know, if you can sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star or Row, Row, Row Your Boat, you can pluck out a melody. And so I wanted to give you the opportunity to have that. And the two songs from this project that truly exemplify that is A Lasting Love and The Best of You. The Best of You is probably one of your great songs that you did the same kind of process. And I, one funny thing about both of those songs, I just thought about it, just hit me in my head. You know the funny thing about both of those songs?
No, what?
Both of those songs have the best piano solo I've ever done in my life.
See how I
inspire?
It's
in both of those songs.
See, that's where the inspiration comes in. See, if he's just sitting there doing his own thing, he, like everybody else, you have your own idea. You know, he's Prince-driven, he's funk-driven, and he has in his mind what he wants to do. But when someone else brings you something, it challenges your brain say, I'm going to step outside my box.
Yep.
I see where she's going with this. And let me see what I can do. But you're right. I think those solos were the best that you've done.
Ever. And if I had to recreate it today, I can't.
I totally agree.
So that, it's funny, you know, I just referenced those songs because those are the songs that you put together. And so one of the roles that I did, and I have that as a question. So let me get to that because as you hear how we just described a part of that, I wanted to ask you, how was it working with me as your producer? That's the question, because you just heard what she said about, you know, coming down and being in certain moods and then me hearing things and trying to flesh it out. So I took her songs and I gave it the structure it required, you know, put that little bounce on it, made it more cohesive. It was her skeleton. She had everything in there. And I just added that stuff to make it pop.
Okay, so this is where...
I think I'm going to have to go upstairs and get a drink now.
No, this is where you're going to have a thick skin. You're always telling me to have a thick skin. Okay.
I'm about to pull this camera up closer so you can see.
This is where you and I had a love-hate relationship. Because...
As well we're supposed to.
Where I respected everything that you were doing because I knew that you were more experienced than me. I also am very stubborn. That Taurus bull in me made me want to do things my way, regardless of what you wanted to do. Case in point was when we were doing The Best of You.
Oh, God, I don't remember. Okay.
There were some ad-libs on The Best of You that I insisted that I wanted to have, and you said it's not going to work, that you wasn't feeling it. And we fought about that for a long time until finally you said, whatever, just do what you want. And I did it. And after you listened to it for a while, you said, you know what, this really works. And there was also a situation where you added some ad-libs to another song. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, and vice versa. I listened to it a couple of times, and it actually worked. But to answer your question, sometimes it was very difficult because, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that Al is very, very hard on me.
I'm demanding.
And one of the things that used to really, really, really get my goat is that I would watch him for years and years and years work with other people, especially women. And he was gentle and kind, and he was loving and very nurturing to them. And whenever I got down here, it seemed like he was so hard on me. And I used to get so mad at him. It's like, okay, you're going to have to give me that same kind of time and that same kind of love and that same kind of whatever. But I am going to say this. I know why he was so hard on me. At least I believe I know why he was so hard on me. Because of what he always just said, even in the beginning, how I don't know how to be selfish, but I know how to be selfless. So he knows that I was never giving 100% of myself because of whatever, fear or whatever the case may be. So he would always push me to limits that I didn't even think that I would be able to get to. So to his defense, I believe now, after the project being done and over and finished, a lot of that was simply because he knew that I wasn't given 100% when I came down here. I was skating through. I was afraid to raise my voice. I was afraid to go out of my range sometimes. And he would try to get me to put aside all of those fears so that I could move forward. And I know that I wasn't 100% there, but I do believe that when we finally got to finish this project, I wanted to be 100% there. And even if I was 90% there, there was still some room for growth. I still appreciate the harshness in which I needed to go through in order to even get this project going.
Yeah, man. So. And, you know, I'm a firm believer. You know, we all want to stay in our comfort zone because that's why it's called the comfort zone. That's the place at which we operate in a space of comfort.
Yes.
But the greatest projects that you enjoy are when artists went outside themselves and did that which you truly didn't expect, you know, coming from them. And sometimes they didn't even know. Sometimes it was what happened in the world, a situation happened in the world, and it forced them to go left, doing something different. And yes, I am a perfectionist type. I'm not truly a type A person, but I am a OCD obsessive type. And I want to make sure that, you know, you're going to give the best that you can. If you come down here and you're halfway joking, it don't work for me. You got to come in here. I need you to do it. If I got to get you to do it four or five times, you have to do it. If you think I'm joking, you should see me with the band. Okay, the band, when I got them early, you know, I understood that they weren't seasoned. So it took a little time to get them up to speed. And then once I got to a level of what I would say a level of proficiency, if they dip below that, I'm on their ass. Because, no, yeah. you got to be always at this point. I want you to supersede that, but you can't go below that. Yeah. And so that's kind of my mindset. So can I be difficult, demanding? Yes. And the other thing is, because I'm always in here working in the studio, you know, I kind of know my way around and what I'm doing and what I'm looking for and how to get there. And if it's things I don't know, I'm trying to research, I'm trying to grow. And I'm going to put that same pressure on anyone I'm working with. And you get double pressure because you came up with the musical family. Yeah. Okay. You had quite a few, your brothers were musicians. You sang with your sister. And then you spent all that time here in this house. So I wouldn't accept anything less from you because in my mind, you know better.
And I can accept that, except for like everybody, because this wasn't my—it's
not your normal niche.
My normal niche.
Yes.
I needed nurturing. I needed some softening. Let's do this again. Let's try. Can you do it this way? And I didn't have a coach like that,
mm-hmm.
So I had to figure these things out for myself. I had to figure if I was in the right voice. I needed to make sure that my voice wasn't going to crack if I tried to go a little bit higher. You know what I'm saying? So I was afraid to go outside the box. But I will say this: the last one of our last sessions to get to A Lasting Love, I remember I was ready. Because when he told me he was going to, we were going to record, I was singing all day. I was singing all day. At work, I was singing in my head. I was singing all day. And we came down here and we did it and we dropped it in one take. And you were like, you're looking at me, you're like, that was easy. I'm like, yeah, I know you. Okay. So you wasn't catching me this time. I had to really, I was practicing because I knew if I came down here cold and ready to, you was like, no, I had to make sure we were able to do this in one or two takes or else, I'm going to get the wrath of Khan. So
yeah, man.
I really pushed myself and worked and I sang in the car. I was singing the songs in my head. I was singing the songs at work. I need to make sure when I came down here to do the actual recording that I was going to be ready to do that. So
I handed you a sheet.
Yes.
And I want you to read the titles of the songs for everyone.
Okay. A Lasting Love. What You Gonna Do, Boy? Girls' Night Out. A Lasting Love.
Oh, that's wrong.
Okay, why do we have A Lasting Love? Okay, I'm going to keep going. The Best of You. Do You Know Who You Love? I Want to Show You. And then A Lasting Love, the club dub. So...
I'm missing a song.
I feel like you're missing a song too, but I don't know what it is.
Yes, I'm missing a song. I will tell you exactly what it is. This is what happens when you do live, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe it's I Don't Want Your Love.
That's what it is. That's the first song is I Don't Want Your Love.
I Don't Want Your Love.
That's what's missing. I put A Lasting Love because I'm thinking it was the title.
Yeah, I Don't Want Your Love.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you told me something that I didn't see. I said to you, when you put together an album, pacing is important. I said, so you have to arrange the song. So today we're in a singles driven era where people just do a digital download. They don't get the album. They just go get the song they like and they'll listen to that song. Back in the old days when you listened to an album, it was strategic that when you open that wrapper up, you put that thing on the record player, you drop that needle, you had to sequence that thing in a way to keep that listener engaged. And so when I said that to you, I said, here, you figure out how you want those songs to flow. So now knowing that I Don't Want Your Love is actually the first song and not a lasting love, why did you structure this project the way you did?
Well, actually, A Lasting Love is the first song, and I Don't Want Your Love was the would have been the fourth song, I think, in that way. And the reason why I say that is because I structured the song to first, A Lasting Love was going to tell you what I was looking for in a relationship, and it actually sets the stage. This is what I'm looking for in a relationship. And now, as we go forward, do I get that? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I have to go through a couple of things before I can get to that point. And I think the rest of the song kind of brings us to that place. What you gonna do, boy? It's a question. I mean, you know my criteria, so what you gonna do? Okay, and then we have The Girls' Night Out, which was actually your song, but I felt like it fit as an interlude while I'm talking to my girls mm-hmm. about what love is. And they all have their different ideas of what love is. And, you know, I'm not convinced, right? And then we have I Don't Want Your Love, which was actually a song written with my brother, Jimmy. And it was I Don't Want Your Love is a song that I wrote with Jimmy.
Oh, that's
number four. Right after Girls' Night Out.
Yes. Remember, I Don't Want Your Love is the opening track of your project.
It may be the opening track, but it wasn't supposed to be. A Lasting Love was supposed to be. I told you that.
No, you changed the order.
Okay, so let's okay.
You changed the order.
If I change the order, then let's start with I Don't Want Your Love.
Yeah, that's what I just told
okay,
you.
Okay, so I Don't Want Your Love was an anthem.
Women.
No, men. Was an anthem where I literally, and this was a true story. I don't know if he ever knew that this was a true story. But Al and I were engaged, and I had this guy who really wanted to get with me. And he was trying to convince me to dump Al as my fiance so that I could get with him. And so I wrote the song about him because, frankly, it was like, I'm trying to tell you this, but you don't want to listen. So every time I wanted to say something, I would write it in a song. So this was a song that indicated that I don't want your love because I have somebody. I have somebody, so I don't want you, right? So that's what that song came about. Now, The Best of You was a song that I actually wrote for you, Al, because you and I had been married for some time, and I was really enjoying the relationship, and I wanted you to know how I felt. And I wrote The Best of You to tell you that. Right? Let mm-hmm. me keep going?
Yeah.
Now, Do You Know Who You Love?
Ooh, that's my banger.
It's not even my song in the sense of, I was sitting down having a candid conversation with one of my girlfriends who was telling me about a relationship that she was in. And while she was talking to me, I'm like, this could be a song. And I said, do you mind if I make this a song? And she says, no, I don't mind. So I just took some of the conversations that we had and I arranged it into a song. And it happened to be one of your favorites.
Oh, yeah.
That you love. So
oh, yeah.
Do You Know Who You Love started that way. I Want to Show You was music that you gave to me and said, what can you do with this? And then I started to just write. I loved the music. The music was just speaking to me. So I wrote those lyrics on top of the song that you already sent me, and I always loved it because I thought it was like, this is great, I love this. So that's how I got I Want to Show You.
And a cool comment about that particular track is, I think when we originally did it, it was a duet. And so when I dropped, I believe, my second project, I took it and made it a male song.
Yes.
So you can hear the same song on one of my projects as a male song. And then when she did this project, she only had, you know, six songs. And I was like, nah, you need another song. And because she had sang the duet version with me and she did the background, yeah, she didn't know I had kept those vocals. And so to her surprise, I brought her down here one day. I said, hey, I want you to listen to this. And she came in and all of a sudden she heard herself singing the lead on that song as opposed to me singing the lead. And so we included it on this project.
Yeah.
So you can get a male version and you can get a female version of the song to see if it hits you differently.
And it was fun. So this was one of them fun songs that I wrote. Just, you know, just fun. Like the other song that's on your album that I thought was a fun song that I wanted to redo. And you know.
I don't know.
Oh, man, I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, I'll get to it.
And the last song?
The last song is A Lasting Love, the Club. You saw that song as a club song. And you said, I hear a club song. Let's make this a club song. And I was like, okay, tell me what to do. You said, basically, just sing it over.
Same verses, same lyrics.
Sing it over.
Different music.
The music is just slightly different, right? Mm-hmm. Has like a little bit more of a clubby bounce. So I'm like, okay, I can do that. So that's how we got that.
And so I asked you to kind of name and break down all the songs. And yeah, I mentioned a little bit earlier, but we can go a little bit deeper. I wanted to ask you, what was your favorite song on the entire project?
A Lasting Love.
Okay.
And I told you earlier why I liked A Lasting Love, because I put it all together. But actually, A Lasting Love could be my anthem, because A Lasting Love was really, truly my thoughts on what I was looking for in a relationship. And it was easy for me to write it because I wanted to say that. I was saying something. And I needed you to hear me. I needed you to hear me. This is what I'm looking for.
I like it.
And this is how our love is going to last, because this is what I'm looking for in our relationship. So it was important for me to say that. So this is why that's one of my favorite songs.
It's a little sassy, too, when you hear the way she's singing. It's a little sassy the way she sang it.
It's not sassy. It's real. This is what I'm looking for in a relationship.
And I would also be remiss, like I said, that, you know, you said tomorrow our son is taking a major step in his life as he's going to marry the young lady that he has now found. And
I hope it's a lasting love.
We did this project, and then it was come time to mix the project.
Yeah.
So I did a mix on the project the way I heard it. She had a gentleman who, you know, has professional mixing skills, and he did a version that, you know, he delivered to us. And then she wasn't particularly happy with the versions, and I told her, you need to do your own version. So I taught her again, the same way I taught her how to create music. I taught her now how to mix and start understanding how space and time and all that goes, so she could create a mix, and she created a home mix. But the mix that you actually listen to is a mix that is done by our son. Our son is also an incredible musician in his own right. He's dropped his own project. He's the keyboard music director player in my band. So he has a wealth of musical knowledge. And so you reached out to him and said, why don't you take a crack at mixing this? And he took a crack at it. So the version that you hear is our son's mix, except for one song, which is I Don't Want Your Love. That song is actually my mix, because there was a part where the vocals didn't fall out right, so I wanted to bring the vocal out. But every song on that project is mixed by our son.
Yes.
So what was the onus of grabbing your son and having him do the mix for you?
Well, you know, I always wanted AJ to work on our projects, because ever since AJ was a little kid, I always envisioned AJ, myself, and Al working on projects together, because that's in my mind how this was going to be. We were going to be a team and we were going to work together. It has always been that for me. So every opportunity that I have to use AJ in any situation, I want to. He wrote the music for all my plays. He wrote the music for all my podcasts. And so the only reason why it seems like I went to him last, I never went to him last. I always wanted him to do it. But when I mentioned to my coworker that I was doing this legacy project, he wanted to mix it for me. He wanted to do that for me. And so I said, okay. And I came home and I said, well, Al and AJ, I have somebody who wants to do this for me. I said, he has some professionalism, so maybe he can, you know, do a good job. So I did. I gave it to him, and, you know, Al gave me the
we call them stems.
The stems, and mm-hmm. I sent it to him. And it wasn't that I didn't like it. It was just that there were some elements of the song that were important to me, and only AJ would know that, or Al would know that. As a professional, sometimes when you take somebody else's work, you're looking for the best possible.
Yes. The way you feel it should fit sonically and sometimes, in the genre.
Right. And sometimes you're taking out elements. But there were elements that were important to me. And they may not be important to anybody else, but they were important to me because I pulled Kiana, my daughter, and AJ's new bride.
let me give you that question, because it is okay. Also a question on here.
Okay.
So in addition to using your son to mix the project, let's talk a little bit about your background singers for this project.
Okay. So this is all related.
Yes.
So I pulled them into the project with me, and they were happy and thrilled to be a part of that project because they knew it was my legacy project. They were so, and they're not singers. I mean, they're not singers, but they were.
I think you should give your producer some credit. This is one of the times when he gave them grace, because I would have been all over them if we was really trying to be hardcore okay. background singers.
But I wanted was an element of
real authenticness.
And it would have been authentic. They're also on the Girls' Night Out, as we're having this conversation about love, they're there, and they're given their contribution.
Their monologue. They each get a monologue.
So I needed for them to be a part of this project. And so they were way down in the mix, because there were some, you know, sounds that maybe they were not that perfected. And so my friend, my coworker, took them out. Basically, you couldn't hear them. And I was like, wait a minute, how come I can't hear Kiana? How come I can't hear Naja? What happened? And so AJ knew how important it was for me to have them in the mix. And I think he did a very, very good job.
Absolutely.
At not just keeping them in the mix, but making us all blend and sound good. And I thought that he did an excellent job at giving me what I was looking for.
This might go left. What'd you think about the cover art for your project?
He know this is gonna go left. I don't even know why he acted like this ain't gonna go left, because let me just say, he over here laughing, but let me just say this. I had been thinking for months how I wanted my cover
keyword
to be.
Months.
Okay, because there wasn't no fire under this project, and no, you know, so I really had this idea of what I wanted, how I was going to dress. It was going to be really, really glamorous and really fashionable. I was just waiting for the moment in which me and Al could pull it off, because I wanted him to be on the cover with me, because I'm talking about a lasting love, and he is my lasting love. So he took it upon himself to choose the picture that he wanted to put on the cover. And so when he showed it to me, I'm like, I don't like that dress on me. That's not the dress I would have chose, is what I'm saying to myself. And this is where men, he want to talk about women. This is men, okay? That may not have been important to him. He goes, I like the way you're looking at me, though. I like the way we look. And I'm like, okay, I like the way I'm looking at you, too. It looks like I'm really in love. You look like you're really in love. But I don't like that dress, man. You know, that's all I was thinking about is, that's not the dress I would have chose. That's not the hairstyle I would have chose. I was looking for something a little bit more, you know, 80s, you know. The whole, I'm going to look good. But, you know, for the sake of peace, and women, we all know we do things for the sake of peace. Since he really loved that picture, I said, go for it, babe.
And let me just say, I actually showed her like four or five pictures.
That wasn't the one I chose, though.
Yes, and I said to her, I said, if you, and I put the title across the picture so she could see it. I said, if you had to choose one of these, which would you pick? And of course she didn't pick the one I picked.
Of course not.
And I'd already mocked it up and had it ready.
Exactly.
But, you know, I also have to say that picture, the album cover picture is the shit, because we're in Jamaica. We got this beautiful color behind us. We got colorful outfits. So I hear her and I get it. So when we do singles, we'll have to use a different cover. All right?
Yes. Yeah, so just for the record, I wasn't 100% on board with the cover, but since I was 100% on board with my husband helping me with this project, there are some things that I just said, whatever you see, we will do.
That's why I had to throw that in there, just so people could feel you. I told you, we always going to be honest.
Always. I couldn't be anything other than honest.
Here's a question that's probably a little more deeper. It's not just the project. It's all-encompassing, if you will. And my question for you is, as a creative type, what does the arts in general mean to you?
The arts mean everything to me. Like you said, I grew up in a family where my father allowed my brothers to play instruments, and they had a band, and I literally was a groupie for the first time with my brother Jimmy. He was a bass player, and I went to every single show that I could go to, same like I go to every single one of your shows. So I grew up really, really wanting to be a part of the arts, and then my writing, and then my novel writing, my playwriting. I put on some plays that I literally miss doing right now. I miss that creative part of myself where I could put on a play, where I could do some artistic things. To let you know exactly how much the arts mean to me, I even got into painting, because when I can't do one thing, I pick up another thing so that I can keep my artistry going. Mm-hmm. So the arts mean everything to me. Being awesome. Creative, and I literally could do that for the rest of my life without even blinking.
That's right. We are a creative family. Everybody inside this joint has got some of their fingers in something.
Yes.
Here's a question that I'd like to know the answer to. Because since I had the pleasure of doing it one time, I'd like to know what you think. Could you see yourself performing these songs live in front of people?
Could I see myself performing these songs live in front of people?
Your own original music, mm-hmm. with a band behind you.
Okay.
You performing these songs live in a setting, okay. where people are listening to your entire album live.
Okay. I'm glad that you rephrased that question to say in a band behind me.
Absolutely.
Because I can see myself singing my songs with a band behind me. I don't see myself singing these songs with just tracks. I don't like that because I feel naked and alone. And being naked and alone sometimes scares me. But
you really got a whole show out there about that. Naked and Afraid.
I know. But being part of a band, having the band play them, because you know what? I can take some liberties when there's a band playing. There's, you know, I can, if I'm feeling it in the moment, I can feel it in the moment. But I think when singing from tracks, I have to stay true to what the song sounds like. And there are times when I'm feeling something differently and my voice takes me to a different place, or even my rhythm and my sway takes me to a different place. So I can see myself performing these songs with a live band. Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes.
And along those lines, are you ready to shoot a video for the title track of the project?
Well, the title track of the project is I Don't Want Your Love, right?
No. Title track is The Lasting Love.
Okay, because you got me confused right here. You said the first single,
yes.
was I Don't Want Your Love.
No, your first single would be A Lasting Love.
That's what I thought we were talking about. You said I had it wrong. But anyway, am I ready
I'm
to...
I'm confused.
y'all gonna be on my side when you hear this, because this man is confusing me too.
I'm confused.
Okay, but A Lasting Love. Am I ready to shoot the video? I have a theme for the video of A Lasting Love, and so I would have to pull that together. I know that you offered another theme.
Yeah, because I know the model has changed, and the music model is not the way the music model was in the past. But you know what was great about the music model in the past? It worked because there was a flow and a logic to it. So this is my concept. You drop your project in March. Typically what you do is you release the single before to get people excited, then you drop the project, the whole album. So what you would do is you would release the single, drop the video with it, then you drop the album. Now we already have the album is out, so now you want to drop a video behind it to support so people can see your vision of your project. The problem you have is the people that you're trying to get are involved with 50 million other things.
As am I.
So by the time you get around to those people and get the project dropped in March, you may not see a video till June, okay? I can tell you, we can put together a video and we can have a video out inside of 3 weeks where you could have an opportunity to deliver a song, and then you would find another song on the project. Like, that's the one that you would then try to, you know, flesh out and do something different with. Or I could even offer this, you know. I think, you know, you always want to lead with the song that you feel is the reason why you did the project. That is A Lasting Love. So the concept that you have for A Lasting Love may not be able to be pulled together. So maybe you'd have to pick another song, and we do what I'm saying for another song. And then when you get the opportunity to do Lasting Love, you do A Lasting Love the way you want to do it.
I understand what you're saying, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need the video to look different from previous videos, right? If it's going to set me apart as having my own single album.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, where will we record the video? And where, because I know the concept that you want.
Come in.
Hey, we got visitors.
Come in.
Hey!
Oh, your podcast.
Come on in. This is great.
I want you to meet my friend.
Wait,
yes,
come in.
This is beautiful.
We need y'all to get in the video.
Look, they're doing a whole bunch.
This is live. We don't mess around.
This is beautiful. Hi.
We don't mess.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Look
how
at
you
with your cute self.
Junior, you gotta introduce yourself.
Okay. Oh my God.
AJ Junior, y'all know who it is. Let me take this off so you can see the face. We can say it. Okay. My friends came all the way from my wedding.
Yes.
All the way.
Dana.
Y'all know I talk about them all the time. So I'm
Dana,
to get
what's
a
your name?
Khalil.
Khalil and Dana.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. This is a moment.
I know. I wanted him to see. I said, listen, come to the crib. Yeah. Come see how we live. Y'all see why I'm a
pros
fan.
Are we pausing?
It's been like this for literally like 30 years.
I don't know how to pause that.
Ooh, I think we can.
This is her.
You see, they down here working.
Yeah, man. So my wife just dropped her debut album.
Okay.
Awesome. Let's see. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, all I can tell you is that is the beauty of when you do something live.
Absolutely.
And if I have to say anything to you, pour into your children, because our daughter always likes to say, what, good fruits come from good roots, or?
Well, something like
good
that.
Good roots and good fruits. But what I would say to you is our children are a reflection of us, and their friends are a reflection of them. And when you meet good people, it lets you know that you have truly done your work.
Yes.
So Dana and what'd he say? Because now all I can
Khalil.
Think of is, I was going to say Griff, all
Khalil?
I can think of, yes.
Dana so, and Khalil.
Dana and Khalil, it was our pleasure meeting you.
Yeah.
You guys made it into the podcast.
Yes, they did.
So thank you very much. And we were almost at the end. So
yeah,
we're going to close this thing out because, as I said, we were talking about Caroline's debut CD project. That project's called A Lasting Love. And she put in some serious work to deliver 8 tracks for you. And I wanted to ask some questions to see if we could kind of flesh this thing out for her. So I have really one last question to make sure I got through everything on my list, because, you know, when you go left, it changes everything. But nope, I do. I only have one last question left.
Okay.
And this is my question to you. Clearly, now that you've stepped into that arena and you've become an artist,
Okay.
We always like to ask, what artists do you consider have influenced you on this journey?
Wow. Okay, that's a very, very fair question. Being the loyal person that I am, I have a tendency to, if I found something in someone, I have a tendency to stick with it. So the very first artist who had an influence on my life was, as you know,
do I need to say Phyllis?
Phyllis Hyman.
Like what in what'd the I tell world? You?
That's what happened when when things go left. I knew where you were going.
Phyllis Hyman. I was introduced to Phyllis Hyman early on when I first started thinking of myself as being an artist or a songwriter. I love her. I still love her to this day. I still listen to her songs to this day. And so a lot of my influence is probably through her. But also, too, as I began to learn about music and started to really want to look at some of the way I wrote, Karen White is very prominent of someone that I listen to. I'm really sorry that she's disappeared from the game as far as I see.
She might still be out there,
but I haven't found anything.
New.
Right.
Yeah.
But I still listen to her work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Karen White, definitely. Also, I listened very heavily to, what is happening to my brain? This person who always had on, help me out here. She is the gospel singer.
Oh, Yolanda.
Yolanda Adams, yes.
It's a shame when the man remembers stuff.
Oh, my
and the woman
God.
Don't.
I don't know what's, the interruption got my brain. I'm thinking now, I'm just so giddy right now after seeing my son and his friends.
Absolutely.
But yes, Yolanda Adams. I listened to her all the time. And not only was she instrumental in my life as far as life lessons and going through some things, I just loved her as a singer. I loved her. Her artistry, I loved everything about her. But I'm moving into different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So I also love other individuals. I've been listening to WBGO a lot.
Yeah.
And there has been a lot of artists whose names I can't pull out of my hat right now.
Because their music's so eclectic.
Yes, mm-hmm. But I absolutely love listening. And I remember telling AJ that I think the route I want to go now is more into blues, jazz blues, because I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the lyrics. I feel the music. So I'm going to say that.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. So I listen to all kinds of music, as you know.
As well we should, yeah.
Yeah, so... But that's where I'm at right now.
Right. No, I think that's fair. I tried to cover a multitude of things because I wanted people, when they listen to the project, I want them to get a whole feel for you. I want them to get the total package as opposed to just listening to the individual songs. So that was the reason I wanted to kind of do this. So now that you've dropped the project, we know we're going to try to work on some sort of a video so folks can get a visual of what the project is. And we have... this will be coming out as a podcast, and we'll also have a video version of it. And we have a blurb that we did, which was like about a 10-minute clip just when we first introduced the album.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you would like to tell to the audience out here about yourself or about the project, so that to keep that fire and that interest up?
Okay. I'm gonna leave it with this. I have my own views and my own idea about who I am as a person, as an artist. I do consider myself an artist. I don't need anyone to tell me that I'm an artist because I know that I am. I know the different avenues of creativity that I take in order to stay within my artistry. But I will say this. Even if you do not listen to the type of music that we just dropped on this album, I do ask you to just listen to get to know me a little bit better. When I tell individuals who read my book, if you want to know who I am, if you want to know my style, if you want to know where my mind is, then you need to listen to some of my projects, whether it's a book that I just wrote or it's a lesson that I just did in my ministry. And I say the same thing about this CD. If you want to get to know the heart of me, then you have to listen to my work. And you have to rate me as me and not try to put me in a box, because I will scratch and kick to get out of boxes. I don't put myself in a box, and I ask that you don't put me in a box either.
I just read something online where Melvin Moore said, we have to stop treating music as a competitive sport. You know, we're individual artists seeking our own journey. So I just want to thank you for taking this time out to spend time with me as I hijacked your show. Because, you know, I wanted to, as I said when we opened this up, a lot of times as women, y'all are so selfless and about giving of yourself for everybody and everything else. I wanted to hone that in, and let's feature you, and let's talk about, you know, what it took for you to deliver the project you just delivered. And I think we had a great session to talk about that and get some things out.
Yeah, me too. I don't think that overnight I'm going to be this selfish person only thinking about myself.
No.
Because it's not in my nature.
No, but there are times when you need to absolutely be selfish, like when you're on the airplane and that damn thing drops down and they tell you, before you try to help someone else, take your mask and put it on your face first. And this is one of those moments.
That is true. I'm going to try to take some time to put some effort into promoting this particular piece and just try to be myself. And I'm really glad that you particularly entitled it Introducing Caroline.
Absolutely.
Because I have so many hats that I wear.
Yeah, man.
And I have so many titles. But there's not many people who know Caroline.
Exactly.
And to have an opportunity to just simply be myself with no expectations of all the rest of the stuff that comes with being in my world, just see me today as Caroline. And that's, I appreciate that.
All right. Felt we did a good job? You felt you delivered yourself?
I think so. And it's so funny because I always get asked, you do all the interviewing, nobody's ever interviewed you. I say, yeah, I'm okay with that. I said, because, you know, my point's getting across. It doesn't really matter, whatever. So, you know, it's nice to be on the other side of that sometimes.
All right.
You know, so thank you.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Another one of them classic real conversations with the real talk as we live our best life across all the mediums and platforms that are available to you. Dr. Jones will clean this up and get it where you need it to really see it. Just my job to get the information out. All right.
And
the brother AJ, Dr. Caroline Bethea Jones, A Lasting Love is the project. Be on the lookout for it. Thank you.